John chapter 14. We'd like us this day, with the Lord's help, to consider the words of verse 2. John 14 and verse 2. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord had just informed his disciples that he would soon be leaving them, saying unto them, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come." John 13, verse 33. This news devastated the disciples, so much so that they were, we're told in verse 1, were greatly troubled. Emotions of both joy and sorrow are ascribed to the heart. The disciples were greatly troubled in heart. In times of sorrow, we speak about having a broken heart or a burdened heart. Times of joy, we may have and speak about a burning heart like the Emmaus disciples, or a blessed heart. And here the one who knows the heart of man could see into the heart of his disciples. And looking into their hearts, he could see that they were troubled. That word "troubled" is a word which means disturbed or agitated. The word is used in John 5, verse 7, where you have the man lying at the pool of Bethesda, and he's waiting for the waters of the pool to be troubled, agitated, or disturbed. When the Lord Jesus came upon the scene, he told the Lord, "I have no man, when the waters are troubled, to help me in to the waters." He had no man. He was friendless until the friend of sinners came upon the scene. Indeed, the disciples often suffered from heart trouble. Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 26, there we read, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear." Luke 24, once again they have heart trouble. Verse 38, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in their midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he saith unto them, why are ye troubled?" Once again, they were disturbed, they were agitated. But again, the one who spoke that day to the disciples knew how to deal with the troubled heart. Has he not dealt with your troubled heart from time to time? He's the great heart specialist, if you like. Whatever troubles the heart, the Lord has the answer. Because the Lord is the answer. And when the Lord Jesus told his disciples that he would soon be leaving them, yes, they were troubled in heart, but the Lord knew what to do. He always knows what to do. The Lord Jesus, while he spoke to troubled disciples, was one who knew what trouble of heart was. In fact, the Lord not only suffered trouble of heart, but the Lord's trouble went deeper because it entered his very soul. John chapter 12. We read there in verse 27. And the Lord said, "Now is my soul troubled." It's the same word. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." John chapter 13. And there we read in verse 21, "And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Now, while the disciples were troubled, was troubled because of the weakness of their flesh, troubled because of their sin, perhaps, it was none of those things that troubled the Savior. He who was holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners, endured a very different kind of trouble. But the Lord understands what trouble is. That's the point. He is the high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so, believer, the comforting thing here is this, that when you and I are troubled in heart, the Lord knows how we feel. Because, as we have just read, the Lord Jesus was troubled in soul and troubled in spirit. He can identify with us. When you tell someone, no matter how close they are to you, a wife may say to her husband or vice versa, "I'm troubled today." They can sympathize with you, but they don't understand. They can't enter into what you feel and how troubled you are. But the Lord can. He can identify with us. So now that the disciples are troubled, how does the Lord set about easing their trouble, bringing a calm to their troubled heart? He began to speak to them about heaven. For the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." He's talking about heaven. And how often has a troubled child of God been comforted with thoughts of heaven? There are those times when we're called upon to visit someone in hospital or in a nursing home, and they know that their time on earth is short. They've only a matter of days left upon this scene. And how do they comfort themselves? If they're Christians, they are comforted to know that in a few days' time, they're going to enter into their Father's house. They're going home to glory. They're going to see the Lord. What a comfort that is. And at other times, we may comfort ourselves when we have to contend with the wickedness of this world and how it encroaches upon us. And we may say to ourselves, well, when I get to heaven, I'll not have this to contend with. The Lord brought comfort to his disciples by telling them about heaven. And indeed he told them here, what is heaven? He says, in my Father's house. Heaven is our Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'm not going to leave you here. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm going to come back again, and I'm going to bring you to my Father's house, and you'll spend all eternity with me. Praise the Lord, what a comfort that is. Just to know. We'll see the Lord, and we'll spend all eternity with him. What is heaven? Well, from the words of the Savior, we can certainly see that heaven is a worthwhile place for the saint of God to go to. The Savior made this very clear to his disciples when he spoke those words, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house. And so here the Lord describes the place. Here's the Lord's description of heaven. Throughout Scripture, heaven is given a variety of names. The Lord here describes it as my Father's house. The Savior's Father is our Father, dear Christian. So it's our Father's house. But elsewhere in the Bible, heaven is spoken of as a city, Revelation 21, verse 2. It's referred to as a country, Hebrews 11, verse 16. It's described as the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, verse 10. And that's just to name but a few. But here the Lord says, it's my Father's house. And as we think of a house, we think of it being a meeting place. It is a place where members of family gather together. When my parents were alive, I always looked forward to going with my wife and I and our children at that time, going to my parents' house. My Father's house, my earthly Father's house. It was always good to go there. And my parents loved to see the children. And it was always a blessed time. Because the house is a meeting place. It's a meeting place for family. It's a meeting place for friends. During the Savior's earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus described the temple as his Father's house. John 2, verse 16. Now, when you think of the temple that the Lord called his Father's house, you think once more of a meeting place. It's where the Jews went up to worship. It was a meeting place for the worshippers. And so, the Father's house in heaven is a meeting place. It's a place where all of God's blood-bought people will meet one day. We'll all meet there. Now you take that word house. The Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions. That word house means household or family. Isn't that interesting? In my Father's household. The Lord is saying, in my Father's house there is a family. It'll be the gathering of the family. The Lord's family. So the word not only refers to the place, it also refers to the people. The people who will be in that house. I wonder how many here this morning have that assurance in their hearts right at this moment that you will be in that house. You will be in the Father's house. You can only be in the Father's house in heaven if you know the Father. If you know His Son. Because you see, all who are saved by the blood, we can look upon the Father as our heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus not only as our Savior but as our elder brother. We're all part of that one family. And heaven is our house. And heaven is our meeting place. One day we will be in the Father's house. What a prospect. What a thought. This means that someday our Father which art in heaven will call us home to His house. We look again at the Savior's words and see that heaven is not only a described place, heaven is a definite place. This morning, in our adult Bible class, as we've been doing over the past number of weeks, considering some of the cults that we come across in this world today, the false doctrines and the false teachers and the false prophets. This morning we were considering the Christadelphians. As I've already said, they're one of the worst cults ever to come into being, ever to be spawned out of hell. And among the things that the Christadelphians deny, they deny there's such a place as heaven, and they deny there's such a place as hell. It's all in man's imagination, basically, they tell us. Well, I'm going to take the Lord's word for it. If the Lord teaches in the Bible there is a hell, then I believe it. If the Lord teaches me there is a heaven, then I'll believe it. And the Lord Jesus, who is the faithful and true witness, makes it very clear that such places actually exist. Heaven and hell. Regarding hell, you remember what the Lord said to the Pharisees and the scribes? Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Matthew 23, verse 33. And again the Lord Jesus, when he was preaching to the folk of Capernaum, and many of them rejected him, and the Lord wrought many miracles in that place. They were a privileged people. They had heard the Lord preach. They had witnessed his power. But still they would not believe in him or receive him. And this is what the Lord said to the people of that area. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted on to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. He spoke both about heaven and hell. It's as if the people of Capernaum, through the Lord's ministry and the privileges that came with it and all his miracles that he wrought, it was as if they had been lifted to the very door or the gate of heaven, only to be cast down into the lowest hell, because they had privileges that many others did not have. And in spite of all the privileges, still they rejected and turned their back on Christ. Have you ever done that? Have you ever rejected the Lord's word and turned your back upon the Lord? What the Lord said to those in Capernaum, he will say to you. Because you see, there's no excuse for the person who has heard the word. None whatsoever. The Lord said it would be more tolerable for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment. More tolerable on the day of judgment for the Sodomites of those cities than for those of Capernaum who heard the word, had it offered to them, but rejected it. O thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. And that's the truth. How can we be definite that there is such a place as heaven? Because the Lord has told us. Because he has been there. May you find it hard to argue against a person who has been there. The Lord Jesus has been in heaven. And he came to earth and he went back to heaven. He went back to his Father's house. And here the Lord says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. The Lord is saying to his disciples, if there was no place called heaven, if there was no Father's house, I would have told you that. I wouldn't have fooled you. I wouldn't have deceived you. I would have told you there's no heaven. But that's not what the Lord was telling them. The Lord was telling them, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, it is so. He did not want his people to have a false hope of a better life after death. He wanted them to know the truth. And the Lord said, there is a heaven. That's something you, John, and Peter, and Andrew, and Thomas, and the rest of you, you can all look forward to that. Because I want to tell you, There is a heaven, and that heaven I call my Father's house. I have been there. For when he had finished his work on the cross, where did he go? He returned to his Father's house to receive the glory that he had with the Father from the beginning. He's been there. Would anyone dare charge the Savior with telling lies? I believe even the worst of sinners would hesitate to make such a statement. No, he doesn't lie. The Lord Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Where's he going? He's going to his Father's house. So it's a definite place. No doubt about it. It's a described place. It's also a dwelling place. In my Father's house, we think of the dwelling. The Lord told his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And these words tell us that heaven is home for the Christian. Heaven is home. The house we dwell in, we call it home. After a day's work, we look forward to getting home. And oh, if I'm away for a number of weeks, I look forward to getting home. I look forward to getting back to 14 Stanley Drive. That's a house, but for me, it's home. Just a house of bricks and mortar, but it's home. And we all liked to get home. If we spent perhaps a number of weeks in hospital, we wonder when the doctor's going to come and tell us, "You can go home." Because we want to get home. Well, that's our home here upon earth, but we have a home in heaven. And even the Apostle Paul got homesick for heaven. He was in a twixt between two, to depart and be at home with the Lord. He got homesick for heaven. Sometimes we get homesick. Our homes here, of course, are only temporal. One day we'll leave the family house. One day we'll leave the family home and be admitted to the Father's house, our eternal home. The truth is seen in that word, mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. That word mansions is a word that means abode. In my Father's house, the Lord is saying, is where you will abide. It's our abode. It's our eternal abode. John 14, verse 23, the same word. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That's the same word as the word mansions. And so we can see that the house of God, our Father's house, will be our abode for all eternity. That's why we often sing the words, "We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light." But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare, we cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there with us in the Father's house. When we speak about the death of a child of God, as we did a few weeks ago regarding the death of the Reverend Hamilton's dad, what did we say? Said our brother Billy's gone home to be with the Lord. It's our abode. It will be our abode for all eternity. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But wait a minute. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Do you know what that word present means? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That word present means at home. Absent from the body and at home with the Lord. As children, and again making reference to visiting my parents, what was it made that house home? My mom and dad were there. That's what made it home. If they were not there, it would just be an empty house. We may go there, we may walk through the rooms and walk out again, but it's just a house. What made it a home was the fact my parents were there. What is it that makes heaven home? The Lord is there. To be at home with the Lord. What makes it home? Yes, the Lord is there. And the members of our family who died in Christ, they're at home with the Lord. That's what makes heaven home. There's going to be a great family reunion one day. I've quoted this before from that dear lady, Gladys McLean. Great admiration for Gladys when she went home to be with the Lord when she was 92. Missionary in India for many years. Crippled with ill health in her latter years. We talked often on the phone. We talked about, well, we'll see each other again sometime, Gladys. She said, we will. And she says, I'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for you just inside the eastern gate of the New Jerusalem. And I believe that she'll be waiting for us. And your loved ones who have gone before, they'll be waiting too. And you will arrive home after a long journey on this earth. Sea of time, and you'll say at last, I'm home. The Lord is here. My redeemed family is here. Do you have that hope? It's only two places, heaven or hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. The Lord, or rather Paul, said again, absent from the body and at home with the Lord. So Paul regarded heaven as home, as his home, where the Lord is. And each blood-bought child of God can look forward to being at home with the Lord. Or as the psalmist has put it, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the Father's house, isn't it? Where will you dwell forever? I find many people like to put off the subject. Don't like to face up to it. They sort of have it in their minds they're going to live here upon earth forever. But they're not. Young or old, they will leave this scene of time. The place that knows you now will know you no more forever. Where will you be? Where will your abode be? Heaven or hell? Because hell is the eternal abode of lost souls. And heaven is the eternal abode of the redeemed. Heaven would not be heaven if our Savior wasn't there. I have great love and admiration for Samuel Rutherford. We often sing that hymn based upon his saying written by Anne Ross Cousins, "The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." That was Rutherford's last words before he went home. And Rutherford one time said, if Jesus made his abode in hell, I would like to live there too. For I am sure hell would become a heaven if Christ was there. See, that's what makes heaven what it is. Heaven is home to us because the Lord is there, first and foremost. Heaven is home because our loved ones are there. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ have already arrived in the Father's house and will join them one day. And do you know something? Those who have already arrived in the Father's house, they would not want to come back and live in the house they lived in here. They would not want to return to this world of wickedness and sin and corruption. They're happy where they are because they're in the Father's house. Often think about the questions we'll have for the old saints of God, the questions we'll have for the Lord. And all will be revealed. We'll understand it better by and by. We speak of the land of the blessed, the country so bright and so fair. And oft are its glories confessed. But what must it be to be there? To be there, to be there. What must it be to be there? They've dealt with a few words of verse 2 of chapter 14. Next Lord's Day, we'll take it a step further and we'll consider heaven as a wonderful place. We've seen it's a worthwhile place. Worthwhile to make sure you're going to heaven. Make sure you're going to escape a lost eternity. Because the Lord spoke of heaven. In fact, the Lord spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Surely that's something to take to heart. Is the Lord not sounding out the warning to all who know Him not, to seek Him and His salvation, ere like Capernaum they raise up to the highest heaven, only to be cast down to the lowest hell? We'll consider next week that heaven indeed is a wonderful place. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Father and our God, we thank Thee for that heaven that Thou hast gone to prepare for us. We praise Thee, Lord, that what we will enter in heaven is much more than what we'll ever enter here on earth. We rejoice that heaven will be our eternal abode. And while men and women here on this earth are often evicted from their homes, praise God, we'll never be evicted from our heavenly home. It'll be our eternal abode. Lord, bless the word to our hearts. And any who know not Christ, this moment in time, if the last breath was to go from their being, they would sink down into the lowest hell. Lord, answer prayer and save the lost and bless Thy people. Bless those, Lord, who must leave at this time. May Thy blessing go with them. And Lord, those of us who will remain around Thy table, be with us, Lord, and reveal to us the scenes of Calvary. For we ask all things in the Saviour's wonderful name. Amen.